Hello, everyone, and welcome to another bonus episode of Cinema d'Amore. You get two this week for the price of none, because you're not paying for this. And if you are, we're not seeing any of that money, so I apologize for that. Anyways, I'm one of your hosts, James Reinhardt, and I have a guest for this. Introduce yourself, Lexi.
Hi. Sorry, I'm having a night tonight, so this is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, this will be interesting. I think this will be probably a shorter, because we have a lot of bonuses coming up, so I don't want to inundate our viewers.
We'll see how long we can talk about this movie.
Yeah, that's true. But this episode, we are discussing the Warner Brothers DC film Birds of Prey, which came out last weekend.
Yep.
We saw it opening night.
We did, and might I say, there was not a lot of people at our theater for opening night.
Yeah, and
there were like 10 of us, maybe.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, this movie, unfortunately, didn't flop. It underperformed. It did not meet expectations.
Was it still number one, though, at the box office?
Yeah, still number one. It was projecting for a much bigger weekend. I think they're projecting for a 40 to 50 mil weekend, and it made 33 million.
Kind of came out at a weird time, though.
It did. I mean, the marketing was weird. It had a smaller budget, so like it's probably going to make its money back. And I think it's going to have legs over the course of the box office. But February is a weird time. But a lot of people were blaming the R rating, too.
Well, yeah, but Deadpool did really well in the same time.
Yeah, I guess some people were saying, like, oh, you know, Harley Quinn's entire fan base are teenage girls, and they weren't able to see it.
Yeah, but they're teenage girls who want to find their Joker and might go on a date to see this movie.
Yeah, well, they'd still have to find an adult to go with them.
An adult?
Yeah, like, I don't...
They let you in. Is that, like, still a thing?
I think, yeah, if you have an adult, they won't let you in, so you have an adult with you.
I feel like R-rated movies, though, like, are now so ubiquitous that, like, I don't know if these comic book movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Why did this movie have an R rating?
It was violent and lots of F words. Apparently, they wanted it to be rated R from the beginning. Like, Margot Robbie wanted an R rated girl gang movie.
Well, I think that she just wanted it to be R rated so that she could just do whatever she wanted.
Probably.
That seems to be the way that things are moving.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's one of the reasons they think it's underperforming is the R rating. And then some people were saying, like, maybe the Suicide Squad connection, because even the Suicide Squad made a lot of money, not many people liked it, and that may be affecting.
It was pretty split, like, pretty meaty. Like, some people really liked it, and some people really hated it.
Yeah, I mean,
like, overall, not just, like, people we know's opinion.
It might be, like, kind of like the Batman vs. Superman thing, where Batman vs. Superman made a lot of money and kind of had mixed reviews. You know, people loved it, people hated it, but Justice League flopped because people weren't really interested in seeing Justice League after Batman vs. Superman. So maybe Suicide Squad. It's the same with this after Suicide Squad.
I think this movie will have better word of mouth.
Yeah.
Than those movies, though. I have to, you know, take the standpoint of, because I don't know, I just have to, of that, like, maybe because it's an all-female-led movie.
Yeah, that
it didn't do as well with the toxic masculinity of DC fanboys.
Yeah, that's true. And
like, they didn't, like, show up for it.
Yeah.
At least maybe not on opening night.
I mean, that's quite possible, and that group of people have been very vocal online in detracting this movie, and now they're kind of celebrating, fuck those people. But,
yeah, all right, you know what? Fuck those people.
Yeah.
I want to say it, like, I wasn't going to say it on the air, but
no, I'm very vocal in this
podcast. Fuck those people. If you didn't see this movie because it was female led, fuck you.
Yeah, and like, don't even listen to our podcast because I don't want your numbers
or your money that we're not getting.
Yeah, your blood. I'll separate that from the money. But
the money is where you draw the line.
But you know, not through honest means.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were kind of and like yeah, I guess maybe because DC's still like not quite as mainstream as Marvel, that DC still has this like weird toxic male following.
I don't know if that's it, but I do think that there's not as much draw on like name recognition because Birds of Prey is a pretty, I wouldn't say it's an obscure title, mm-hmm. but like you have to be pretty in it to really know what the Birds of Prey are,
yeah.
even if you might know Harley Quinn or Black Canary separately
mm-hmm.
from that. I'm sure that, you know, Black Canary has a lot of name recognition because of Arrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you have to kind of in it. Mm-hmm. Whereas people like Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman have a lot of just...
Their household
general,
names.
Yeah, yeah, the general pop culture, like, zeitgeist name recognition.
Yeah.
So people might have been like, oh, I don't really know what the Birds of Prey is, but, like, also it's, like, it's really a Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah.
They just, like, couldn't name Harley Quinn.
That's the thing, is, like...
Which is sort of weird.
Some theaters, it's kind of like the Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat thing, where it's Edge of Tomorrow, but, you know, the tagline is Live, Die, Repeat, but some theaters started calling it Live, Die, Repeat, mm-hmm. and they're doing it with Harley Quinn now. Where they're calling it Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. And I feel like the title should have just been Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. Instead of Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation
of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mouthful of a title.
Yeah, because it really is a Harley Quinn movie with the Birds of Prey as supporting cast. And I was really excited for Birds of Prey movie because I love the team. Like Huntress, Black Canary are two of my favorite DC ladies. I love the original Birds of Prey team, which had Barbara Gordon as yeah. Oracle. I love that. That was one fanboy thing disappointed me that Barbara Gordon was not in this, but
I think it would have been like it would have opened a lot of like questions more than anything else, I think, if they had established her.
Yeah.
Because you start to ask like, how does this line up with that Batman? You know, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And especially with their new Batman coming out. I'm sure that they didn't really want to touch any of his IP.
Maybe. I mean, from what I understand, they wrote two scripts. One which had Batgirl in it, one which didn't, and they went with this one. But the screenwriter of this, she is working on a Batgirl script.
So maybe she just felt that she should have her own.
Maybe, yeah. And Joss Whedon was at one point attached to make a Batgirl movie, then he left after Justice League. So
that's probably for the best.
Probably, yeah. So I love the Birds of Prey team in the comics. I even watched the shitty Birds of Prey TV show that lasted for one season on WB, and I was really excited to see this. And
yeah, I didn't have a lot of exposure to these. Well, okay, that's not totally true. I mean, I knew who they were because of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that Barbara Gordon was part of the original team, but I didn't like, you know, I didn't read it or anything. But I was familiar with some of the characters independently, so I knew obviously Black Canary, Harley Quinn, Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved because of Justice League Unlimited, where she ends up in a relationship with the Question,
mm-hmm.
who I adore. And Ronan Sionis, who I did not connect as Black Mask, but I was like familiar with Black Mask because, well, mm-hmm. you know, you're like a huge Black Mask fan.
I am the Black
Mask. The only Black Mask fan. Well, maybe not after this movie. He had a pretty good...
Maybe,
he had a pretty good turn as Black Mask in this movie. I guess we're not doing spoilers now, so...
Yeah, we can get to this later, but...
But yeah, I thought that he was an interesting choice of villain because he's very grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he did a good job of managing to be threatening to these ladies mm-hmm. to overcome, you know, that challenge.
Yeah.
I thought the design of the Black Mask itself was actually...
I thought that was really cool.
Really cool. They did it in a really interesting way. So I hope that it was a faithful adaptation in your mind as the only Black Mask
sort of
fan.
I mean, he's like a secondary Batman villain, for those of you not knowing, and I...
Well, secondary, I think he's like C-list.
Yeah, maybe C-list.
He's
but
barely above Condiment King.
I always found that he was like kind of an interesting villain, and I was like,
he didn't even get to be in Arkham Origins.
I'm like, yeah, he kind of needs his moment, and all his moments in all the comics is always, like, setting him up to be a baddie. Then another baddie comes in and, like, outdoes him. He's a bad guy used to make other bad guys look better.
Yeah.
And then in Arkham Origins was setting him up to be, like, the main antagonist. I'm like, Black Mask is getting his moment. But we find out Black Mask was Joker in disguise. And I was so funny.
Spoilers for Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
That is, like, one of my proudest moments in this relationship.
Yeah, because you predicted it.
Yeah, James was playing Arkham Origins, and usually I would have played it, but this game didn't really seem worthwhile, like, not after playing Arkham City. And they, you know, like, James, just because he's James, just kept dying over and over in this game, so you get those little, like, taunts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always Black Mask taunting him. And I said to him at some point, I was like, I don't know what it is about the voice actor for Black Mask, but it sounds like he's doing a really weird Joker impression. Like, he's trying really hard to be Mark Hamill's Joker and, like, not quite getting there.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that he was actually the Joker in disguise, and I was like, called it!
Yeah.
I was so proud.
But yeah, he's joking. And then he's in the DLC to Arkham Knight, where he gets killed.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, so, but I was also, like, the only one between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. I think I was the only person that wanted Black Mask to be the villain.
Dark Knight Rises?
In Dark Knight Rises, because, like,
Do you think it would have been better than Bane?
I don't know.
Talia al Ghul?
Talia, Bane, and I guess Catwoman was kind of...
I don't think she was a villain,
though. She wasn't a villain, yeah, but I was like, well, at that point, I was like, we've seen... You know, like, I was thinking, like, after Joker, I'm like, there's other villains that I'd like to see that haven't been done. And I thought, well, Black Mask is kind of cool. Like, you could put him in as a villain. And, I think Bane was, and Talia were decent choices, I guess. But
were you familiar with, like, Harley Quinn's, like, solo stuff before this movie?
Not really. I never really read her comics. I grew up with her from Batman, the animated series. I mean, I know in the past couple of years, since her popularity skyrocketed, that she has kind of branched out into her own solo stuff.
Well, she has, like, a lot of... I think she has more than one of her own titles.
Yeah, she has a couple of them.
I like the one where she gets together with Poison Ivy. They deserve better.
Yeah, and I guess Margot Robbie, in a sequel, wants Poison Ivy in it. Sequel, she wants to be based off Gotham City Sirens, which involves Catwoman, so I'm wondering how that'll go, because Catwoman's in the Batman movie.
Who's playing Catwoman?
Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, that's a great choice.
Yeah. There seems to be some questions of whether or not this Batman movie will be connected to the DC universe or if it'll be standalone.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm very excited for Catwoman. But yeah.
Well, I mean, this one is definitely attached to Suicide Squad.
This movie. Yeah, there are multiple references.
Multiple? I thought they just name dropped the one.
There's
two. You're right.
Yeah, well, they use footage from Suicide Squad. They use her origin. And some of Joker, but you never see his face.
Very tasteful. And by tasteful, I mean I didn't have to think about Jared Leto the whole movie.
Yeah. but yeah, then there's a wanted sign for Captain Boomerang in the jail in one shot. And then...
Yeah, and then at some point she, like, explains the timeline.
Yeah, yeah. She, like, this takes place.
Yeah, I think she's just, like, yeah, she's info dumping her life to somebody. But she's like, oh, yeah, went to jail, saved the world, got out of jail.
Yeah.
Or no, got a bomb tied to my neck, saved the world. Got out of jail and, like, now I'm here. And it's kind of, I don't think it's part of the intro. I think it happens later on.
I think it does, yeah.
So she establishes that this takes place sometime after Suicide Squad, which after the events of that movie, I'm surprised that the world is as normal.
Yeah.
As it is.
Yeah, and then she's going to be in the new Suicide Squad movie next year.
So that'll be interesting where she'll go back to that.
Yeah.
Though I guess presumably that means she has to get arrested at some point.
I guess, but James Gunn's also hinted that this is like a fresh start and has no ties.
Oh.
But I'm like, given this movie and then she's coming back for that, I'm like, how does that work? But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do there. Though this movie really turned me a little bit on Margot Robbie's rendition of Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Suicide Squad, I think it was, like, I felt... Because Suicide Squad was so bad, in my opinion, I was like, okay, well, Will Smith tried. Mm-hmm. Margot Robbie, she tried. I would say a lot of the actors just tried. It was just a really bad script.
Yeah.
And I did think to myself, like, I could see her being a good Harley in another movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that I got to see the another movie.
Yeah.
Where she actually is a... I do think that her Harley Quinn is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has a good sense of who the character is. And it's not what people misinterpret the character as being about.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Joker and Harley's relationship is very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very toxic. And this movie is primarily about her dealing with getting out of the toxic relationship. And, like, how she deals with life after Joker.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, like, kind of nice, and I think that there's a deeper layer that I can't speak to, but about, like, escaping that type of situation, like a domestic violence kind of situation.
Yeah.
And, like, what you go through. And she, not really a spoiler, but in the first half of the movie, she handles it very badly. actually through most of the movie, she handles it very badly, and then it takes her a while to, like, get on her feet and, like, find a good support system. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, for people watching this movie who know someone or have experienced that situation themselves, you know, it's a really kind of weirdly, like, a fun way to kind of tell that story, even though it's, like, a really dark story in itself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good subtext there.
Yeah, essentially this is, this is Harley's movie. And this is essentially her rebounding after getting out of this abusive relationship with Joker.
So it's not just her. She doesn't carry the whole movie.
She doesn't, but she's the main character for sure, yeah.
Well, I want to make sure credit is given to the amazing supporting cast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because everyone in this movie gave it 100%. No one half-assed it.
Yeah.
Even, like, Ewan McGregor, who, like, has, and I'll get into this later, like, some very questionable scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He gives it 100%.
Yeah, he's great. I love, like, Harley's great. I really liked Ewan McGregor's Black Mask. I loved Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Huntress.
Yeah, she was really good. I have a new crush on Journey Smollett-Bell.
Yeah, Journey Smollett-Bell is
Canary. I, like, immediately followed her on Instagram after this movie because I was like, who is that woman? She is so beautiful, and her voice is killer, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she sings on the soundtrack, and I also immediately was like, where is this soundtrack?
Yeah.
I must have it in my life, and because we saw it on opening night, which was actually the day before it opened, the soundtrack wasn't out yet until the next day, and I was, like, devastated that I was deprived it for, like, a couple hours.
Had to wait a full day.
Yeah, but the soundtrack is a banger. Even if you don't see this movie, download the soundtrack. It is, like, it really matches the tone of the movie, which is, like, a little bit punk, tank girl, you know, girl power, but, like, with, like, a, I don't know, it's got, like, a dirt to it.
Yeah.
And, like, a really hard beat, which I really, like, love.
Yeah, it has a very unique tone to it, for sure.
Yeah. It's a little sultry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could talk too long about
it. Because, yeah, it seems to be compared to Deadpool, but I mean, I feel like, you know, this is unique in its own way. Like, Deadpool is unique in its own way. The only thing that really makes it different is, like, Harley's, she doesn't exactly break the fourth wall, but she's narrating it.
I think she breaks the fourth wall.
Maybe she does.
Maybe
because she doesn't do it as obnoxiously as Deadpool did.
She doesn't address the audience in the way that Deadpool does, but she definitely is, like, telling the story to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know if they... It's kind of framed in, like, a Dear Diary way.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, like, addressing the audience in, like, the second person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know. And, you know, but it's not... Yeah, it's not as self-referential as Deadpool is. And I think it's done in kind of, like, a cheeky way that, like, fits her as a character.
Yeah.
It also lends her narration... allows the filmmakers to kind of be a little bit weird with the timeline because she's narrating, but she's narrating out of order because she's narrating it in the way that she remembers.
Yeah.
And then she's also, like, skipping around a little bit. So, like, they'll reference something and then she'll be like, oh, wait, I didn't, or she'll say something. And then you find out that she probably discovered this way later. Where, like, not a huge spoiler, but a really great moment. When she's first talking about Black Canary, she says that she like, meets her first. She, like, reveals her character. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I bet you're wondering who this is.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, goes back and you see things from Black Canary's perspective, which, of course, Harley wasn't there for.
Yeah.
But you find out that, you know, because she later meets Black Canary, she found out about what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she also, like, she does the whole, like, oh, yeah, and she has a killer voice. And then when that scene comes up where Black Canary gets to use her powers, you know, she kind of does, like, a told you.
And
it's, like, a cute little, like, wink back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie's able to have this kind of all-over-the-place story, like, timeline, which I think helps the narrative a little bit. But it feels really natural because Harley is telling the story and she's kind of an unreliable...
Yeah.
I wouldn't say unreliable narrator, but she's because she's not really making herself look better.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just telling things just in the way that she remembers it. So you get a whole fight scene and then, like, no explanation on why, like, how that, why that happened yet. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, it, I mean, it's been compared to, like, the style of the movie's been compared to Tarantino and Guy Ritchie, which mostly because, like, it's mostly the first act is told kind of out of order, and then Guy Ritchie in the sense that you have all these characters who are all kind of intersecting all after the same thing. In this case of the movie, they're all chasing after this diamond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the MacGuffin, which is a thing, but also a person.
Yeah, in tech, yeah. So Black Mask wants his diamond. There are numbers etched on the inside that are keys to this, basically the numbers to like access bank this. Accounts. Yeah, bank accounts for
so
this,
dumb.
This mob. I
thought it was a dumb MacGuffin, but I mean, I'm not like, it fits the universe.
Yeah, and but Cassandra Cain, a pickpocket, steals it and swallows it. So now she's public enemy number one, in addition to Harley, who is also public enemy number one because she made a lot of enemies, and now that she's not a Joker anymore, they all are coming after her.
Yeah, she, like, publicly declares her breakup by blowing up Ace Chemicals.
Yeah, their spot. That's one thing I did like about this movie. There's a lot I really liked, but one thing I liked is it kind of reminded me of Batman the Animated Series, where the criminals are kind of like celebrities, where everyone knows who they are. They know, like, their deal and their hangouts and stuff. And the criminals kind of operate in the open. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Paul Dini or Bruce Timm, I was listening to an interview with them, where they said that, like, in their minds when writing Batman the Animated Series, the criminals are kind of like, they're like the Kardashians in Gotham. And they, like, they bring tourists and attention to Gotham. So they're kind of allowed to, like, do these things. And, you know, it's like, oh, come to Gotham and you'll see Mad Hatter, you'll see Batman Ketchum. And it seemed to be like that in this, where everyone seemed to know who Harley was. They knew she was
Well, dating. They always say, yeah, she's Joker's girl.
Yeah, they knew she was dating Joker. Like, they all hung out at Black Mask's club.
Yeah.
Where he kind of let them do whatever they want. And then obviously after that happened, he has a bone to pick with her. But yeah, then Black Canary gets involved because she becomes his driver, and then we have Huntress in the background kind of murdering a bunch of people.
Which is true to her comic book origin.
Yeah, that is
Well, more or less, yeah.
Yeah, she was done. All the characters except Cassandra Cain were done very faithfully. I know some fans are kind of upset.
Why?
And this, she's like living on the street. She's a pickpocket. And in the comics, she's a daughter of a master assassin. She's like one of the best fighters in the DC universe.
Can she go toe-to-toe with Batman?
She can, yeah. And
well, like, and win? Or, like, at least tie?
Come pretty close. Her dad is the same. But she eventually becomes she's also mute in the comics. She can't speak. And she eventually becomes Batgirl. A Batgirl after Barbara Gordon.
Do you think it would have been better or worse if they had used her comic book origin?
I don't know. I think you could have done, like, I thought, well, watch it. I'm like, this would have been really interesting if she was mute, like the comics, like this relationship with Harley. Cause she bonds with Harley, but
they could have had her do sign language. That would have been fun.
Yeah. And I feel like they left room for her dad because it mentioned that she's living with foster parents. Hmm. But at the, I guess we could get into spoilers.
Yeah, we should probably do spoilers. We can talk more about the plot.
Yeah, fuck it. We're getting to spoilers. But so at
if you don't want to have spoilers, number one, go see the movie, come back, start it whatever time this is, and we're going to talk about some spoilers.
Yeah, but at the end, she seems to become Harley's apprentice, which seems to indicate that, like, she's not going to go down to Batgirl.
Life of crime.
Yeah, unless, or maybe, you know, they might do something in a future movie where she meets Batman or...
It seems like Harley took a bit of a, like, anti-hero turn.
Yeah.
She's sort of like a chaotic neutral.
Which she's always been.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Joker, though, she's more definitively bad.
Yeah, but after she leaves him, she kind of becomes chaotic neutral.
Yeah. Yeah, she isn't. She's definitely a good example of chaotic neutral.
But yeah, a lot of people are taking issue with Cassandra Cain, but other than her character, like, every other character is done pretty faithfully, pretty well.
I was very happy when you told me that the cop, Rosie Perez's character, what is her?
Her name is Renee Montoya.
Renee Montoya, that's it.
And in the comics, she hangs out with your boy, The Question.
Yeah.
He kind of takes her under her wing, under his wing, and he's dying of cancer. And when he dies, she becomes the next Question.
Maybe she will have a romance with Huntress, just like The Question did in Justice League.
Maybe, yeah, it's possible. I think she had a brief romance with Batwoman in the comics. I might be wrong, I don't know. But yeah, she... And, like, this one's going to even kind of end setting up for something of Renee Montoya, because she leaves the police force at the end and becomes a crime fighter. Yeah. Pretty much a vigilante alongside Huntress and Black Canary. And I was like, oh, is she going to put on the question mask? But no, she's just, like, fighting.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, because, like... And not to say that there's, like, really superpowers in this, but, like, she's definitively, like, the weakest of the rest of them. I'm like, she's, like, and she's a cop. So I'm like, oh, she's just a cop. Like, what is she gonna do?
Yeah, and I thought maybe, for some of the movie. Since there's no Barbara Gordon, she's gonna fill, like, the Oracle role. You know, be the man in the chair, so to say.
They do show that she's, like, one of the best detectives in the force. It's just that she doesn't get any recognition.
Yeah.
Because she's a woman.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, okay, we're doing this. And, but no, I mean, I think that you can see very easily that she is a very talented detective. I think the movie shows that. And, yeah, but she was definitely, in my opinion, like, the least powered, I guess. Because, like, Huntress is a killing machine. And I adored her.
Yeah.
She was so kind of cute and awkward. And, like, Huntress in... At least the only Huntress that I'm really familiar with, which was the one in Unlimited, she wasn't as, like awkward.
Yeah.
She was much more, like, a normal person. But this one, it kind of made sense, where they did the origin of she's the daughter of the MacGuffin's owner. Her whole family's killed, and she snuck out. Which I kind of liked that one of the guys that killed her family felt bad when he found out she was alive.
Yeah.
And he, like, smuggles her out, and she stays with, like, these, like, two martial artists who, like, teach her how to fight and kill. And then, so she then tries to exact revenge.
Yeah, and she comes back to Gotham. Yeah, and that, like, we had that flashback of Huntress's origin, and it's shot really well, and I love the style of it. I'm like, can we just get, like, a spaghetti western style movie about her? But yeah, she's more in the background until the third act.
Yeah.
I
think that's probably for the best, though. They keep her really, like, mysterious, and I think it works.
Yeah.
Especially for the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
I also like, well, let's talk about the rest of the plot before we go into the final bit, because that's where all the pieces kind of come together.
Yeah.
I think that Black Canary, this might be my favorite version of her. I don't know what it is, but, like, everything about her character design, everything about, I mean, obviously her voice is beautiful, and she takes kind of an odd journey.
Yeah.
But she's sort of, like, she doesn't have that, like, super strong moral compass. Because very early in the movie, she becomes a Black Mask's driver because Harley injures his previous driver. And she just seems, like, content driving him around because I guess he's paying her.
Yeah.
And they say pretty early, like, she's Cyanus's, like, little bird. So it's implied that she kind of knows what business he gets up to, and he's not, like, she's not super bothered by it until he goes after Cassandra Cain.
Yeah.
Which is shown to be, like, her neighbor and also, like, a child.
Yeah.
So I think, like, her line seems to be, like, oh, you're not going to kill kids, though, right?
Yeah, it seems, like, her journey is interesting in this movie because we find out, you know, her mother was the original Black Canary, true to comics. And her mother was killed fighting crime. So that's why she's inherited her mother's powers.
Yeah.
Canary Cry. But she seemed to have turned away from that because her mother was killed, and, you know, it's a lounge singer. But yeah, we see her that she obviously has a moral compass when she's in the alley outside the club. Harley is, I mean, there's some really dark connotations there where a bunch of guys are attempting to take advantage of a drunken Harley and force her into the back of a van.
Yeah, put her in the van.
And Canary rescues her.
I forgot about that.
So we see that she's kind of like the rogue with the heart of gold. Like, she... You know, she was hurt, so she doesn't want to get involved, but, like, she can't help herself. And then, you know, she gets involved. As she becomes his driver, she kind of gets a front row seat to really how unhinged and how how like sadistic Black Mask really is.
Yeah, plus she has to work with Zsasz all day.
Yeah.
And like, okay, number one, I'm really happy to see Chris Messina getting work. Because
mm-hmm.
I have, so my familiarity with him is from The Newsroom. Where he, well, I mean, you know, where he plays Jane Fonda's son.
Reese Lansing.
Yeah, Reese Lansing. Yeah. He's just kind of a prick.
Yeah.
And in this, he plays Zsasz, and it's a very different role, because, like, I'm familiar with Zsasz because of, mostly because of the Arkham games.
Yeah.
So I knew that he, like, carves each of his murders mm-hmm. into himself. And it, they did it really well, where they don't, they didn't reveal that detail of him mm-hmm. until very late.
Yeah.
And even then, it was like, he's just, he's doing it because he's taunting Black Canary. And he's, like, suspicious of her.
Yeah.
Pretty much the whole time. And hit, but him and Black Mask have such a beautiful homosexual relationship. And yeah, I ship it.
Yeah, there's lots of implications that there's something going on with him and Black Mask, or at least on his end. Like, he seems...
He really loves Black Mask.
Yeah, he seems really into Black Mask.
I mean, Ewan McGregor's pretty cute, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. but yeah, I like it was an interesting, once again, knowing... Zsasz, to me, is a lot like Mask, Black Mask, where Zsasz is the villain. Another one of his villains is used to make, like, both the heroes and the villains look better. Like, oh, this person took down Zsasz, so, you know. But I like that instead of just, in the comics, he's just, like, a serial killer. But in this, he's Black Mask's, like, right-hand man, and, as you said, maybe lover.
he also really likes to carve off people's faces.
Yeah.
Which was, like, a very weird scene.
Oh yeah, he's carving off that family's, and I feel like there's a lot to hit the cutting room floor of Black Mask, because he carves off like his enemies' faces, and in his office he has masks everywhere.
Yeah, he has like a weird mask obsession.
Yeah, and he has daddy issues. Now in the comics, that mask he wears, the one he wears, is carved from his father's coffin, so that's why he wears it.
But in this one, it's like a leather kind of mask.
Yeah,
I mean it's cool as fuck looking.
Yeah, he looks great when he finally dons it.
Yeah. Yeah, which isn't until really late in the movie, and I was like kind of disappointed.
Yeah,
he only wears the mask for like less like 5 minutes.
It was one of those things where I was like, you know, I'm disappointed, but like knowing Hollywood, I'm like, oh, they probably paid Ewan McGregor so much for this that they're like, eh, we're gonna hold off on that mask. Or is
that too? And plus, like, it's probably like hard to like, you know, act and emote.
Yeah,
with that mask on, because it's, mm-hmm. like, a fixed expression.
Yeah.
So I think they wanted to minimize it until he wasn't on screen as much. So in the battle, like, you don't see his face.
Yeah.
As much, so I think that it kind of worked. And, like I said, him donning the mask is, like, a really neat moment.
Yeah, that's kind of, like, his character. Like, his character is kind of unwinding throughout the movie.
Yeah, he had my least favorite moment in the movie, though.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't seen anyone else really talk about that moment, so yeah. I'll just let you fill everyone in.
Right, so, like, basically the minute the movie ended, I, like, turned to James, and there's a scene in the movie where Black Mask is, like, at his club, and, you know, things aren't really going his way, and he's in a mood, and he hears this woman across the bar, she's laughing. She's like a really annoying laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, objectively, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's really annoying. But he goes over to her, and, oh, just to be clear, her having an annoying laugh does not in any way justify what he does.
Yeah, yeah, no, and yeah.
And that's kind of the point, but I just, in case somebody's gonna miss that,
mm-hmm.
in no way... should you ever do this for any reason, no matter how much of a dick someone's being across the bar from you?
Yeah.
Okay, so he goes over to her, and he, like, so clearly everyone here knows that he owns the club.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes up to her, and, like, I don't think he's, like, specifically, I don't remember if he has a gun or not, but basically he forces her to, like, he's like, well, get up and dance then.
Yeah.
And you know, she gets up. And then he, like, forces her to stand on the table and, like, dance. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's gun to her head, but it's very implied that, like, she does not have a choice here.
Yeah.
And she's, like, basically shaking more so than she's dancing. And he's just being, like, super crazy. And then he's like, oh, he's like, I'm going to, you know, take your dress off. Or, I want you to take
like,
your dress off.
He's like, I hate your dress. Take it off.
Yeah, because he's wearing this, like, boxy dress. So he wants her to take it off. And then she's, like, not really... She's just confused. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, she's looking at him with, like, this mixture of, like, fear, but also just kind of confusion of, like, why he's doing this.
Yeah.
And it's an expression that I am so familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Just from, like, being a woman.
Yeah.
Of, like, when somebody's, like... He kind of even says it in the way that he's, like, kidding. So she's just, like, not sure, but she's scared.
Yeah.
So she's kind of, like, going along with it. And then she has the guy that's sitting... He has the guy that's sitting next to her, like, cut her dress off.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, give him a knife to do it. And he's, like... He even says to her, he's just like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, he clearly doesn't want to be here. She doesn't want to be here. And, like, this poor guy who got roped into it has to, like, cut his dress off. And he's looking at her just like... I'm so, so, so sorry. And I think they are threatening him.
Yeah.
Because that guy's kind of like a big guy, and I wouldn't imagine he'd be afraid of punching Hugh McGregor. So that makes me think he might have a weapon, but it was so uncomfortable, and the scene goes nowhere. Like, it's not relevant to the plot. It's kind of just showing, it's sort of showing his, like, descent and, like, how he's kind of become, like, it's kind of like the villain eccentricity.
Yeah.
Of, like, oh, he's just really unhinged, and, like, he, at, like, a moment's notice, will flip and become, like, you know, this pure, like, psychopath. Which, oh, I wouldn't say psychopath. Like, just ridiculous narcissist.
Yeah, say narcissist.
Definitely narcissist. No, I wouldn't say not a psychopath, because he's definitely unhinged.
Yeah.
And that's not something you get with psychopathy. But, the problem I had with the scene... is that, number one, it was, like, so uncomfortable to watch as a woman,
mm-hmm.
of, like, being in that situation. Just, you know, because I think it's one of those things that, like, I think every woman has had that fear at a bar.
Yeah.
And some guy that just, like, comes up, and he's, like, at first he's, like, joking, and he's nice, and then suddenly he's, like, you're gonna get up and dance. Yeah. And they're gonna give you that look, like, you don't have a choice anymore. And if you don't go along with this, I'm gonna hurt you. And it made me so uncomfortable to watch. And... the thing about the scene is it added nothing to the plot.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could have cut that. And I think that there's a scene earlier, we kind of talked about it, where Zaz is carving off the faces of his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they get, so there's three people hanging. So they do the first two, and he says about the third girl, he's like, oh, I'm going to let her live. I'm feeling, like, generous, whatever. So it's still showing that he can, like, change his stripes, like, on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, goes up to her and, like, you know, he's, like, talking about, you know, how he's going to let her live or whatever. And then at some point he just was like, oh, is that a snot bubble or something? And she's, like, crying, of course, because, you know, he just killed her family by cutting their faces off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, ew, that's disgusting. You know what? I've changed my mind. You should kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that scene showed what this other scene showed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this scene was just uncomfortable, and it was there, and it added nothing to the plot. You could have cut it. You wouldn't have lost anything in character. You wouldn't have lost anything in story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it stuck with me for that reason. And after the movie, I said to you, I was like, so that was needless, right? Like, did that not make you uncomfortable? And you didn't really think anything of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because I'm, you know, maybe just I'm a man. I mean, this film was... it was written by a woman and it was directed by a woman. So I feel like maybe they wanted that scene in for a very specific purpose. I mean,
I think it was something that probably got left in from an earlier draft.
Yeah.
Because tonally it felt different, and it was definitely darker.
I know reshoots were done, and I know I've heard... It's all rumors on what was changed and what wasn't. I heard what was cut, and I know I've heard rumors that obviously Black Mask and Zaz's relationship was much more overt, and that got toned down. I've heard things about the MacGuffin... that didn't sound true, and then they weren't in this movie, but I'm not quite sure what the choice was that led them to keep that scene in.
It definitely felt left over from, like, an earlier draft.
Because I do feel like, you know, the point was to kind of show that he's spiraling more than he was.
I don't think what he does is any worse than what he does in the face cutting scene, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, the face cutting scene, he's still kind of in control. Like, we see that he can be...
So they're showing that, like, this girl just having an annoying laugh, like, sets him off.
Yeah, because the face scene, he's still kind of in control, and he's still kind of going after people that have wronged him. But in this case, like, things are out of his control, and he just had to take it out on something.
But his motivation in this isn't really unreasonable. So it's not like he's, like, losing control and he's making irrational choices. Mm-hmm. Like, what he does, I think, as a villain, ultimately, is very rational. He sends his henchmen to get the MacGuffin that he wants. They fuck it up, and Cassandra Cain steals it, and she swallows it. So now she's the MacGuffin. And, you know, he then says, okay, well, he ends up, like, talking to Harley, and she's like, oh, I can get your diamond back from you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he hires her, but then he says, well, I'm not going to put all my money on this woman who doesn't even like Harley, who doesn't even like me, who I kind of want to kill. And, you know, he puts a bounty on Cassandra Cain's head for, what is it, like $500,000?
I think so, yeah.
And so he puts a bounty on her head, and so now you have Harley kind of protecting her from these assassins, because Harley doesn't want to kill a kid, you know, because the assassins are obviously going to, like, cut her open to get it once they find out she swallowed it.
Yeah.
And so Harley's, like, now trying to protect her. And she jokes that she's, like, feeding her laxatives and everything the whole time. She's trying to get her to
Harley is a classic character arc where she's still in it for herself, where, like, she wants the diamond
just as much as everyone else.
Yeah, but she's going about it a little bit more humanely, where she's willing to wait for it to pass through Cassie's system to get it. But then, of course, her and Cassie bond, and, you know, at the end she opts not to sell her out the Black Mask. And
she does, though.
Well, first she does. Like, yeah, she's going to give her the Black Mask, and then, but then decides not to and teams up with the Birds of Prey to...
Yeah, I guess, well, Black Mask also kind of turns on her.
Yeah.
Because he also, like, he wants her to cut her open.
Yeah.
And she won't do it. I think that Black Mask, this whole thing wouldn't have happened if this girl had just pooped.
Yeah, this is the thing. The whole plot hinges upon her bowel movements. They just really want her to shit out this diamond.
Well, yeah, and I think that, like, most of this doesn't happen if she had just shit out the diamond.
Yeah.
And honestly, for me, I never really fully understood. The only thing that I think is irrational about Black Mask in this case, because, like, to finish the story, he puts a bounty on her head. He then finds out that Harley has her, and she says, I have the diamond. Meet me at this address at this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Harley, again, totally assuming at this point she's going to have a diamond that she didn't have to cut out of a small girl.
Yeah.
And he assembles a freaking army to go meet her, because he's like, I'm going to take the diamond and I'm going to kill this girl.
And at this point, he knows the Black Canary has betrayed him.
Yeah, too. He knows the Black Canary has betrayed him.
He took that really poorly.
He did. Well, I think because they set it up early, the, like, oh, she's his little bird.
Yeah.
Like, she's as much a possession to him as anything else. The only thing I think is unreasonable about Black Mask's actions is that he also cannot just wait for this child to shit.
Yeah.
Like, they don't talk, there's no urgent reason that he needs the diamond. Mm-hmm. He just wants it because he wants money, and, like, it's very valuable. But, like, literally, like, 1 or 2 days, max, like... You know, he can just, like, he's clearly not above, like, doing this kind of stuff to people.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that he's like, oh, I'm going to cut this little girl open for it.
This is very in character for him, though, that he's not going to wait. He's just going to slice her open and take it.
I guess it is, but it's one of those things that I'm just like, ultimately, at the end of the day, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
Being a murderer is just really putting a target on his back.
Yeah, but we already see in the beginning that guy in his family, the whole reason why he murders that guy in his family is he... makes an offer to that guy, and the guy refuses.
Yeah.
And then he kills. So, like...
So he's doing it for power, but, like...
And that's... Yeah, that's the thing. And this girl's a nobody. She's a pickpocket, so he's not... I feel like he wouldn't... He didn't care. He wouldn't hesitate to just cut her open and take it out.
I guess so, but, like, ultimately, I think if he had told Harley, like, I'm not going to hurt her. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have gotten what he wanted very easily without violence.
He could have, if he was a reasonable human being, but
most of the movie, like, except for in a few cases, like, he does not attack Harley most of the movie, because he's like, oh, well, that's Joker's girl.
Yeah.
Until he finds out, like, officially that they're broken up. He you know, he clearly respects, like, some rules.
Yeah.
But, anyway, it was still a really good fight scene to see, you know, literally these, like, four women fighting off a literally army of mooks.
Yeah, I really liked... I liked all the fight scenes in this, they were directed by... The fight scenes directed by the director of the John Wick movies. Apparently, they were redone in reshoots to punch up the action, and he did all the action scenes.
Yeah, the action scenes were really good, especially the one in the funhouse, like, set to Barracuda.
Yeah, and that to me seemed like... The end, the third act at Amusement Mile was like peak Gotham, peak Batman, where they're having a fight in an abandoned funhouse. They're using the funhouse like to their advantage. I'm like, oh man, this is...
Harley puts on roller skates at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they like address it. They're like, when did she have time to put on the skates?
But it's like perfect. It's like key Batman, like Gotham City shit. I'm like, oh, I love it. And then
there's a lot of small little like plants and payoffs as well, like the Harley corset.
Oh yeah,
that she gets Montoya to wear, mm-hmm. and it turns out to be bulletproof.
Yeah, and we get like Black Mask when he goes out onto a pier, and a pier is filled with these creepy fucking statues.
Oh yeah, it's Founders Pier.
Founders Pier, and I'm like, this is Gotham City. Creepy fucking statues everywhere. Fog. I'm like,
not enough Zeppelins though.
Yeah, not enough Zeppelins. No, hopefully the Batman movie.
Hashtag not enough Zeppelins.
Yeah. Supposedly the Batman movie is gonna have
One with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm there. Hopefully.
If there's no Zeppelins, it's not Gotham.
Yeah. Exactly. I loved the breakout scene in the jail, and then I really liked this
I did like the jail scene a lot.
This final battle scene with all the birds kind of kicking ass together.
The cool water fight.
And we see the Canary Cry.
Yeah, the Canary Cry was such a great payoff. I didn't think they were going to do it.
I was so happy that they did it.
Like, they set up, like, oh, she's a killer voice, and I was like, oh, I was like, I wonder if they're going to do the thing. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, this world doesn't seem particularly magical.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe they won't do it because it's kind of like a weird power. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of come out of nowhere where, if you don't know that she has that power, like, if you're not familiar with Black Canary, you might be like, what? Because she's just like, cover your ears and get behind me. And I'm like, yes! I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And then she has the Canary Cry, and it's number one, very effective.
Yeah.
She definitely murders those people.
Yeah, they look like they weren't getting back up.
They were not getting back up. But I've seen versions of the Canary Cry where it's really not as effective.
Yeah.
And it's kind of lame. And I'm like, ah. But I like what they did, too, is it's kind of one and done.
Mm-hmm.
Where she does it, and then she, like, almost immediately faints.
Yeah.
So it shows that, like, this is super powerful, but she can't just use it whenever. So that's why she has to, like, fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's obviously a capable fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Though this Canary seems like she's, like, just kind of like a... like a street fighter.
Like
she's not like trained. Yeah. Which it's kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. But, and then there's a really great, skating motorcycle chase.
Oh yeah.
So like they're driving away in a car and then Huntress has a motorcycle and then Harley's like holding onto the motorcycle while she's on her roller skates,
mm-hmm.
trying to catch up to it. Which is also a really great plant and payoff.
Oh, yeah.
Because they show Harley, when she's trying to get over Joker, one of the things she does is she takes up roller derby.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually, like, could, you know, do that reasonably. Yeah. And then, of course, they get to the pier with the creepy statues, and Black Mask is doing that villain thing, where I'm like, he could have just stayed hidden, and she wouldn't have known where she is. But at this point, he has Cassandra, and she chases him out. And I thought that Black Mask was gonna, like, fall into the water.
That's what I thought, too. I'm like, oh, they're on a pier. And I'm like, he just put his mask on. I feel like this is an origin story. He's gonna fall into the water. He's gonna be in a sequel. But no, they blow him up with a grenade. And you see it.
Great moment, though.
Yeah, it is.
Where Cassandra, like, she's like, oh, I stole your ring. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the pin of a grenade.
Yeah, and he lets out, like, a little girly scream. And then they kick him off the pier, and he blows into bits.
You see the bits, too.
Yeah, you see it.
It's not, like, ambiguous, like, oh, he could have made it out.
Yeah.
Like, there's legs and arms.
Yeah, no, he is
dead. I guess I didn't see his head, so maybe he could have just lost, like, an arm and a leg.
No, he blew into... he blew into multiple pieces.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because I was like, oh, okay, he's gonna... Because I figured I thought he might come be back in Gotham City Sirens, but no, Black Mask is fucking... dead. He's gone.
Well, also, like, you know, they kill everyone else. They kill all the goons. They kill Zaz.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's escaping me how Zaz dies.
Huntress kills him.
Oh, right. She kills him because he was part of the squad that assassinated her. Yeah,
he was the
parents.
Last person of the people that she was going to avenge.
Yeah. So she kills him, which is right. And, yeah. And then that's kind of it. But, no, I mean, this was a really...
Yeah,
this was a really good movie. Stylistically, I think I really liked it more than... Like, I think what it was is that... I wanted to like the... Are you okay?
Yeah, I like went to lower my hand, accidentally hit the table. But, I'm good.
I think like when I went to see Suicide Squad, I was like, I kind of like the aesthetic of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a bad movie.
Yeah.
And like, even the I wanted to like the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was such a bad movie that I was like, I don't know if I can like this. And they did that thing where they played like... Bohemian Rhapsody, I think it was,
in the trailer. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I was like, don't, I like this song, please stop.
I had a similar reaction to this that I did to Suicide Squad, but in the opposite way, where I remember Suicide Squad very early, like, a few minutes into the movie, and I was like, this is terrible. and it kept getting worse, and I find myself, like, wanting to, like, watch something good from DC. I'm like, I want to go home and watch Justice League or Batman, Batman Series.
League the movie?
Justice League, the cartoon. I'm sorry. Justice League or Justice League Unlimited. Like, I felt myself wanting to go home and watch some better DC media to, like, wash this taste from my mouth. And this, like, when we were in the theaters, I felt like I enjoyed it more than you. Because, like, when it ended, I'm like, what do you think? And you're like, it was okay. And
I like to wait till I get out of the theater to, like, really, like, sit on something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to, like, kind of have the credits to, like, gather my thoughts. Yeah. Oh, and we waited for the after credits scene, too. And it was... It reminded me much of the Captain America, like, patience is a virtue.
Oh, yeah.
Because she starts with, like, what she said? Like, are you losers, like, still waiting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's like, well, here's something. Since you're waiting, Batman is... she's going to say Batman is fucking... or something, yeah.
But it cuts off. And I'm like, ah. Yeah. Yeah, but it reminded me of the Captain America, like... We're going to talk about patience.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so what I was saying is, like, I really enjoyed this in theaters, and I left, like, feeling really energized. And I was like, man, I'm in, like, a DC mood now. I want to watch some DC shit.
So both things made you want to watch more DC.
Yeah, but, like, this made me watch DC in, like, a good way. And I ended up renting Joker the next day, and which I did not enjoy as much as this. yeah, I had a ton of fun in this movie.
So you did it in the reverse order.
I did, yeah. But I was trying to think of how I'd rank DC. And I'm only ranking the ones that are, like, in the universe, since Joker's not part of that. That's not part of this. But I was trying to think of how I'd rank them, and I think so far I'd probably go Shazam, Wonder Woman, this, Aquaman, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and then 50 Feet of Shit, and then Suicide Squad.
Rock bottom.
Yeah.
Then Justice League.
Oh, I forgot. Holy shit.
I assumed that's where you were going, was Justice League.
I completely forgot that Justice League existed, and we saw it in theaters.
I just asked you, Justice League, the movie?
Yeah, like, fuck, you just did.
Like 2 minutes
Where does that fall? Okay, that's under Batman vs. Superman, and then there's like 50 Feet of Shit, and then there's Suicide Squad. I always remind myself that a Justice League movie exists, because I keep forgetting about it.
Yeah, I have to think about how I'd rank these, because I think that I would put Wonder Woman really high, because, you know, obviously... Though I'm like, by the trailers, I'm suspecting I might like 84 or more.
84 looks really great.
Really good.
I'm really excited for
that. So I'm very, yeah. So probably Wonder Woman first, and then probably, this, because I'm a sucker for a girl power movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aquaman and Shazam for a two-way tie.
Mm.
And then everything else just as like an equal, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I think that like. Well, Suicide Squad is definitely, like, you know, when you look 50 feet up and, like, that's rock bottom.
Yeah.
I really didn't like Suicide Squad. Justice League, the movie, was, like, eh.
Yeah, it's forgettable. Like, I just forgot about it. You mentioned it. Like, yeah.
I thought it was better than Batman vs. Superman.
The only thing...
And I think I've seen Man of Steel a total of one time, and that was when we saw it in theaters. And it just really hasn't stuck with me or made any type of impression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've seen Batman vs. Superman... No, I don't think I've actually seen it more than full through one time. I've seen parts of it outside of that.
The only thing I like about Justice League is, like, at least the superheroes are acting in character. They all behave like their comic book counterparts.
That's what I mean. Like, it's probably above the rest of those.
Yeah.
But this... No, I'm going to rate this pretty high because it ticked a lot of my boxes of, like... Well, one, just being, like, a, you know, good movie. Mm-hmm. It made me laugh. I aesthetically was really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like I said, so Suicide Squad, it ticked a lot of my aesthetic boxes. But the movie was just so garbage, I, like, couldn't like it. I was just like, no. I was like, this is just too bad. And this had the opposite, where it ticked all my aesthetic boxes, where it's just, like I said, it's kind of this punk...
Yeah.
Tank girl, kind of bubblegum, but, like, rough and gritty. I don't know, like, I really liked, like, the stylistic, like, the costumes and the, like, the production design.
Yeah.
Was really interesting. Especially Carly's costumes in this were much more creative, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I really dug her choices, outfit choices in this.
Yeah, even, like, I love that she picks up the hyena.
Oh, yeah, Bruce the
hyena. Bruce the hyena. But, and she wears the collar the whole movie that says Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was, like, a nice little nod.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that Bruce doesn't get to, like, kill somebody.
Yeah, well, he does.
Well, no, he doesn't kill him. He attacks the owner.
Yeah, but she feeds him to Bruce. They show Bruce, like...
No, it was just, like, his arm. Because he comes for her later when she's, like, talking about, like, this is who this is and that's the grievance.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, she...
Yeah, but earlier, like, yeah. I guess maybe...
Oh, no. I killed his brother.
Oh, yeah. So I guess she killed him and then fed him to Bruce.
Yeah, and then he had a brother that came for her.
Yeah.
But so it ticked, like, the stylistic boxes. And I'm a sucker for a good, like, girl power team up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that little girls need more of that in their life. Not all these people are good role models, but I think the movie does a good job of illustrating that.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of Harley's desire for, like, acceptance.
Yeah.
Where, you know, she even goes on a rant at some point in the movie. She's like, do you know what a harlequin is?
Mm-hmm.
And she basically talks about a harlequin has to have a master. And, you know, and it actually, it's a very, like, in-depth look at her character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I didn't really think about that before. That's part of the history of harlequins. And one, that she's self-aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, she's, you know, like, that's very much Harley Quinn's character. She always needed a master. Before she got her own run with spinoffs, she did work with other people other than Joker.
Yeah.
But she was always, like, number two to him. And, like, I think that that's... Because she's kind of struggling to find her new master.
Mm-hmm.
And then this movie's kind of about her, like, gaining a support system.
Yeah.
Becoming her own person.
Yeah.
And eventually she takes on Cassandra as an apprentice. So now she's, like, you know, which is, of course, going to help her as well.
Yeah.
You know, she learns how to, like, be happy on her own. I think that's, like, it's a good story arc for her.
Mm-hmm.
For a character, I'm also not... I would never say I've been a huge Harley Quinn fan. I like her.
Yeah.
I think that she's... I've always liked her style, but I've always found the character to be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie fixed a lot of problems that I had with her character.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, so it ticked my boxes that way. And like I said, it's a good, story overall, but yeah, I'm a sucker for a girl power movie. And I'm sad that it's not doing better.
Yeah. And I know a lot of women, like, online that love this movie. So yeah.
I'm having flashbacks to, like, the Ghostbusters reboot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, I hope it'll have legs. I hope it'll...
You know, I think it'll get good word of mouth.
Yeah, I mean, word of mouth...
Here's my good word of mouth. Go see this movie.
Yeah, the word of mouth's been extremely positive. The reviews have been extremely positive. Like I said, I feel like DC continues its streak with Aquaman, Shazam, and this... I guess Joker, because Joker got good reviews, too, and made a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like...
I didn't include Joker in my list.
Yeah, like, well, I don't just because that's not part of the universe. That's a standalone movie.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I didn't include it. Because this is just my DC extended universe, like, which technically started with Man of Steel.
Oh. Well, or did it start with Green Lantern?
No, but that was supposed to be. And it...
If you listen to the Golden Goblins episode, we've already
gone over this. Yeah, we did.
I learned a hard lesson that day.
It is weird. Like, it still feels like the DC universe is, like, finding its footing, but it's been around since 2013. But, like, it still feels like they're... But, like, you know, there's a couple years off then after Batman vs. Superman, Justice League, Suicide Squad. I felt like they had to reestablish things. And now they feel like they're getting their footing again, but, yeah. like, in a good way.
I think Wonder Woman really turned the tide.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Wonder Woman was so good. Mm-hmm. And I think that what made Wonder Woman good is that they gave Patty Jenkins a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
To make it. And I think that that was the turning point where they were like, oh... Let's let our directors, like, you know, just make movies about these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll worry about linking them together later, which, for good or for bad, it's working out in their favor.
Yeah.
But they've also, right now, been doing a lot of standalones.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I'd rather have good standalones than I will.
I agree.
Yeah. And we got, you know, more. We got Wonder Woman coming.
I'm so pumped for 80. I wasn't pumped. I've been watching the trailer, and, like, I'm just casually thinking about it now.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
That looks so good.
Next year...
Can we have that Golden Eagle armor?
Yeah, that looks awesome. And then next year is the Suicide Squad and the Batman. I think Black Adam's next year, too.
I'm not super excited for Suicide Squad. I know James Gunn is attached. And yeah. I like him, but also at the same time, I'm like, so you're just going to like write Guardians of the Galaxy again?
I really hope he doesn't.
Like, I think he's going to do kind of do...
Oh, yeah, I hope it's his own thing.
He's going to try to capture that spirit, though.
He's been
Lovable misfits.
He's been raving about it online. Like, he's saying, like, it's the most fun he's had making a movie.
I feel like he says that every time, though.
Maybe, yeah. He seems to enjoy...
I mean, good for him, like, enjoying making a movie. And even if it's bad, he still enjoyed it. And I hope that he sticks by it, even if it's bad.
Yeah. He seems like that guy. Like,
then again, he wrote Romeo and Juliet, so...
Yeah. But I think... Because Black Adam and Shazam 2 are sort of filming this summer. I feel like... I think Black Adam comes out... next year, and then Shazam 2 is going to be the year after. I might be wrong, though.
Since we're doing a podcast, we should probably in the future like research these things.
We should, yeah.
So that we can seem like experts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Aquaman 2 and The Flash in 2022.
Mm.
So we're getting DC movies, you know.
No Green Lantern.
No, that's an HBO Max show.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
I actually have no idea.
Well, yeah, the DC streaming.
Watchmen's DC, though.
It is. I mean, yeah, it's Elseworlds, I guess. The DC...
Is it, though? Because Dr. Manhattan was responsible for Rebirth.
Yeah,
now
the comics, yeah, shit.
Ha, ha, ha.
But yeah, so
that media is doing pretty well.
That is,
the Watchmen show.
Yeah. But yeah, the DC streaming app's being folded into HBO Max. But so
it's kind of a shame.
It is, but I guess...
Their app was kind of garbage, though.
Yeah, it was. But I guess they're saying, like, there's going to be DC content for the HBO Max, but it's going to be, like... movie quality. It's gonna be like movie level. So this Green Lantern show is gonna be the first one.
Oh, I guess that's... I mean, that kind of makes sense for like HBO to like fund that kind of stuff. That's always been their like thing.
Mm-hmm. Are those your final thoughts, or do you have anything?
No, I think my final thoughts are: go see this movie, and if you don't want to see the movie, get the soundtrack. And if you don't want to get the soundtrack, then I don't know. Don't talk to me for the next.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me or ride in the car with me for the next couple months. So sorry. But seriously, the movie is really good. I hope that it does better at the box office than it has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it marks a really great chapter for female-led superhero movies.
Yeah,
Even though, Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman we have. But, like, female ensembles, we haven't seen a lot of.
Most superhero movies coming out this year are female-led and female-directed.
I'm all about it.
Because Black Widow, Wonder Woman, obviously, and then The Eternals.
Year of the Women, 2020.
You remember I said, what I said. I loved this movie. I had a ton of fun. I do feel like it's an important film. And I feel like, I really hope that it, you know, finds its legs over the next couple weeks and finds an audience. And I feel like it will. And I'm going to keep singing its praises. If you haven't seen it and you like what you heard on this podcast, go check it out for sure. And if you like what you heard on this podcast, you know, please subscribe, rate, and review. We are at Cinema D'Amore on Facebook and Twitter. You can find me at James Reinhardt on Twitter.
And you can find me at Wonder Night, not on Twitter, but on Instagram.
Yeah, we got some fun episodes coming up. We got Surreal Movie Month, so it's going to be real artsy. And we got a Sonic the Hedgehog episode coming, which is surreal, but for other reasons.
I'm so devastated I can't be on Sonic.
I won't be on it, but if you stick around throughout the episode, there is like a post-credit tag of me describing a nightmare I had involving Sonic the Hedgehog. And you're probably going to think really weird thoughts about me, which is okay, because I was thinking weird thoughts about myself after I had this nightmare.
Judgments were made.
But yeah, that'll be in it. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and catch you later.
Bye.